Blog Talk Radio.
This is the ACAC Radio Network, and welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a vibrant urban congregation located in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This program will focus on the latest emphasis at ACAC known as Expanded Influence, especially the three C's of communication, campus expansion, and church planting. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land, ACAC Variety. This is John Stanko, your host, and we are trying to ratchet up our podcasting and our blog radio in the context of the Expanded Influence Initiative. And certainly, as we start this show, our heart goes out to and we express our condolences to Pastor Rock Dilliman and his family. Yesterday, as we record this, their daughter tragically left this world at 39 years of age after some complications from a blood clot that led to cardiac arrest. And so our prayers to people all over the world, as we've announced this on social media, are praying. And people who know Pastor Rock, who's been an important part not just of the ACAC family for the last 32 years, but the Christian Missionary Alliance family around the world in many capacities, on the board of Nyack College, on the board of the denomination itself, has spoken at many leadership events. And so we don't, at least as of this broadcast, I don't have any details available on any of the funeral arrangements, and it may very well be a private family affair with a public memorial. We don't know that yet, but if you haven't heard, please be praying for the Dilliman family, certainly for their daughter Shannon's two surviving children and husband Rico and the two children, 12 and 10. So they will certainly be missing their mother. The Dillimans will be missing their daughter. We will be missing a sister in the Lord who has been a part of ACAC for as long as her father has been, more than 30 years. So that is certainly where our hearts and minds are as we start this program today. Today, we want to talk about expanded influence in the context of our missions work and of course, we're part of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, so missions is our middle name. In past shows, we've had Pastor Glenn Hanna, who is our missions pastor, on the show. And I wanted to bring him on today, and then we'll bring on Emily Quinn, who is now working in the missions department, to talk a little bit about what expanded influence means to them, but then to look at a specific initiative that we announced this past weekend in church called Manifold Mercy. So I'm going to bring Pastor Glenn on. Hi, Pastor Glenn. Welcome back to Ministry Beat.
Hi, Pastor John. It's nice to be here with you again.
Yeah, it's good to always a good interview with you, Glenn. Good to have you back. And before we get into the new initiative of Manifold Mercy, you've been on staff a while. You've been on you've been a member of ACAC a lot longer. When we talk about expanded influence as a member, as a missions pastor, just reflect a little bit for our listeners and what that means to you, what it represents to you, why it's so important, just wherever your thoughts may take you on that concept, just feel free to share it with us.
Well, thank you. I'm sort of a type A personality. And so when I think about expanded influence, I think about what can we do better, how can we do it bigger, broader, influence more people, affect more people across the globe. And I have this wonderful job where my job is as big as the planet, really. And so I am so enthused about the opportunities to engage this congregation in efforts that are actually, we're on, I think, every continent except Australia. And we have influence in in all sorts of areas, from church planting to justice issues related to providing medical care for AIDS patients in Africa, to supporting hospitals in Africa, to and orphanages, child trafficking in Southeast Asia, rescuing women caught in sex slavery in Europe. And so we have these wonderful initiatives, and this congregation is so powerful because we have the capacity, or we have a congregation that is not only passionate but growing in their passion and in their dedication to impacting this globe. And it's a joy to serve them. One of the things that we've been doing is reaching out locally to immigrants in our community. We focused in October on the entire or on the expanding number of refugees and the different refugee populations in and around the Pittsburgh area, as well as the many immigrants that are coming to this great city to work in the wonderful corporations that are headquartered here. And we have this tremendous opportunity to do international outreach right here in our own backyard. And this church has embraced those initiatives. We've seen so many people come out to volunteer. We've seen them pour money into these efforts. There are an expanding number of efforts that we're building in order to be able to reach the immigrant population in the Pittsburgh area. And so I see opportunities, and I love the concept of expanded influence because it is outward looking, it is growing, it is bigger, it is an effort to export some of the things that we've learned here at this church and to see them implemented in cities across the United States and actually across the globe as well.
So this is just business as usual for you. This is how church should be when we are talking expanded influence. Is that correct?
Honestly, I believe that is true. We went through a period of growth where we were learning how to do things like racial reconciliation internally, which is hard work, as you know. It takes an intentionality. It takes an effort to decide that I'm going to lay down some of my personal definitions and my preferences and be willing to walk alongside people with other preferences and self-definitions and find a way to find unity in those circumstances. And that's hard work. It is intentional work. It is long-term work. And we've done this now for, 35 years or so. And we still don't have it licked, but we're well on the way. And I think that we've come up with some pretty remarkable ethics, for lack of a better word, and how we choose to live our lives as Christians in a multi-racial, multi-ethnic community and world.
Yeah, yeah. What's since I've talked to you, have you been any place recently? Have you been out? Have you seen what it is that the results of what it is that you're talking about, not just in this country but overseas?
Most recently, I was in Africa at the beginning of December. Our district missions mobilizer, Rob Douglas, and I took a trip to Bongalo Hospital. We have had a long-term relationship with Bongalo Hospital, dating back to the late 60s, whenever David Thompson was here and went to medical school at the University of Pittsburgh, then went to Bongalo Hospital way back in the jungles of Gabon and took a small clinic there and built it into the premier hospital in all of Gabon. And so I've been longing to get to bungalow hospital for some time because we're actually looking to accomplish a couple of things. One of them is to expand the value of our engagement with Bungalow Hospital. But also, we want something a little bit selfish out of this. We're looking for a context wherein we can engage young African-American, preferably students, in a cross-cultural context where we can hopefully cultivate them to consider missions. And this seems like a good place to do it. It's in a great context. There are wonderful things happening. And one of the things we're looking to do, because we have a limited representation in the Christian and Missionary Alliance of African-American missionaries, we're hoping to use this context to do what we have labeled as diversity matters in missions, and recognizing that it's important to have people of many ethnicities taking the gospel around the globe. That's one thing. It gave me the opportunity to see how Bungalow Hospital operates, and Blaine Workman, one of our administrative pastors, and I had a conference with the leadership of Bungalow Hospital just this morning at 9:30, and the strategic review team from the national office who were at Bungalow Hospital today to discuss some of the initiatives we're hoping to implement, including setting up a foundation to provide ongoing funding sources for them, as well as assisting with administration of the hospital. Some really exciting initiatives. So,
yeah. So there's always really cool stuff going on in your department, and we've of course talked this week about trying to do a better job of getting it out there, because our people are engaged as to the extent that we've been able to engage them and communicate with them. Resources and finances seem to come in, and we just have to take the bushel off the light and let it shine and let it glow, and God will be touching some other people. So keep up the good work. Now, you've got other things to do, and I just want to get your perspective before we bring Emily on. As we were talking Saturday night after I watched the video for Manifold Mercy, you were sharing some of its background with us, and I said, well, we need to get that story out. So don't assume anybody listening knows anything. Talk to us about the genesis of, in your mind, of Manifold Mercy. Bring us up to speed on what it is, what you hope to accomplish, and then we'll let you go, and we'll have Emily tell us the rest.
Okay. Well, thank you for this as well. Yeah, about a year and a half ago, I was talking to a friend who is the missions and outreach pastor for Christ Community Church in Omaha, Nebraska. His name's Craig Walther. And he talked to me about this incredible thing that they had done. It was seed planting. And they took the parable of the talents that Jesus said had told. And they decided that what they would do within their church was to plant seeds in the congregation. I think they made something like $10,000 available, and they broke it up into packets, and they asked people to come forward. They would hand them a certain amount of money, and the idea was that they would take this money, $100, $500, or $1,000. They would invest it in something, a lawn mowing business, cookie baking, doing some sort of an effort to multiply this, to invest it, and expand the amount of money that they were given, and then bring it back and be able to report on what the increase was. And I don't remember the numbers, but they were numbers that floored me. I think that they had put $10,000 or $20,000 into this that the church had seeded the congregation with. And when they returned, they came back with like $250,000 or something. Mm-hmm. And they use that for missions, to expand missions, and particular efforts at Kuchiala Hospital in Mali. Well, this intrigued me, and I thought, boy, I wonder if we could do that. But that model really wouldn't fit our church. We have too many services. It would be hard to do that. And don't you know, shortly after that, Pastor Rock came to me and he said, hey, I heard this great idea out of Omaha, Nebraska. And he said, we ought to do this. And so we were on the same page, and I thought, well, okay, let's find out how to do this. Well, not being terribly bright, I decided that I would subcontract this out to my assistant, Emily Quinn. And so we sat down and talked about the idea and how we could make this practicable for Allegheny Center Alliance Church. And she had some ideas about doing this on a web page and doing this through social media. And so being largely ignorant of such things, I said, do me a favor, think about it, come back to me, let's talk about it and see what we can do. And sure enough, she sat down, brainstormed through it, came back with some ideas. We partnered with Reed Vertisoto, and they came back with a finished product. I would love to be able to say, John, that, boy, I had a great idea, and this is my brainchild, and I did some great things here, but I have to tell the truth. And it really, the only thing I did was give it an initial kick, and Emily really took this ball and made it grow.
Yeah. Truth in media. Wow, that's unique. We could market that. What do you hope it will accomplish? You mentioned fundraising, but you talked even more on Saturday night of some of the objectives that you hope, and we don't know. You're just putting it out there now. It could turn into something totally different than what we originally intended. But what would some of the objectives be that you would hope would come out of this initiative that we're calling Manifold Mercy?
Well, John, like you, I love this next generation that's coming up far behind you and I, but this millennial generation.
Yeah, I think it's two generations. I think it's two generations behind us.
At least. And but they are passionate. They are lively people who are a little bit disenchanted with church as an inward-looking club. And they're interested in living their lives on the exterior of their capacities, out affecting the world, causing it to have an impact. They want to invest their lives and the things that they do into things that matter to them, and not necessarily paying into maintaining the carpet in the church, which is important to do. I don't mean to diminish that, but. And what we were looking to do is, how can we tap into the passions of a generation? And they are so passionate about justice issues, AIDS, human trafficking, prostitution, and so many of the human slavery, all these things that are rampant across the planet. And while they're passionate about it, and while their adrenaline gets pumping when they think about this, they don't necessarily have a place where they can affect the world, unless they leave their job and go traverse through India or something. There's not a practical outlet for that. Now, in certain churches like ours, we have a number of these justice-focused initiatives. But people who are atheists, people who are agnostic, people that have a are of a different faith, Jewish or Muslim or some other faith, may not have access to real viable solutions to some of these huge crises that are affecting our planet. And so what we wanted to do was to be able to provide an opportunity for anybody who's passionate about rescuing children from sex slavery. They can contribute something, and it's going to have a meaningful impact, and it's going to support projects in Cambodia or Spain or elsewhere, South America, throughout Africa, efforts that are intentionally focused on finding these children, rescuing them, giving them self-esteem, rebuilding them, educating them, giving them a life after such horrid abuse. And so that's our goal. We want to be able to tap into the passions of a generation and give them an outlet for their passions at the same time.
Yeah, and they may or may not be a part of the church, a church.
Right.
It may be, the younger generation, yeah, or non-church at all, but we could join together around a common cause or common values. And so, okay, I'm going to let you go, but you promise to come back because we got other things to talk about.
Yeah, you mean today or another time?
No, another time.
Okay, I would love to, and thank you for what you do. And by the way, there are plans for the funeral. There will be a public viewing on Friday. I don't know what the time is. It's 1 to 3 and then 7 to 9, I think, here at the church on this coming Friday for Shannon and the Dilliman and Ed families. And so, and then there's going to be a private funeral on Saturday just for the family.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, all right, thank you for updating us on that, and I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to bring Emily on. So we'll talk again soon. You take care.
Thank you, John. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, let's bring on Miss Emily Quinn. Hi, Emily. Welcome to Ministry Beat.
Hi, John.
Now, tell our listeners a little bit about your role at the church, and then we'll talk a little bit about how you got there.
Yeah, so my role at the church, my official title is administrative assistant, but I wear many hats. It's pretty much the entire missions department that reaches so far across the globe is just me and Glenn that make it all up. So I do a lot.
And how did you talk to us a little bit about your journey of how you got to that position?
Well, how I got here was about 3 years ago. As you know, I went to Kenya with you and your team. And from there, that really changed my life, which is why I'm such an advocate for short-term trips, for everybody to experience one, because they do change your life and you do meet God there. So in that trip, you know, I totally met God, and he kind of laid some things out in my life. So I came back shortly after I left the corporate job that I had with no plan B. I just trusted God. And a few months later, I started working for the church. Then I have that job has allowed me to, you know, I led a team to Paris, and then I spent this past summer in Egypt. So a lot of great things God has used out of that one entrusting to go on one short-term trip.
Yeah. What was the experience in Egypt like?
Oh, phenomenal. While I was there, for 3 months, 3 months in the middle of the summer, so it was definitely hot. But I got a chance to teach African refugee kids. I taught them English and also a forgiveness. I was under a forgiveness and reconciliation program, which was really outstanding because about 75% of my kids were Muslim, so even the concept of forgiveness they've never even really heard of. So that was just really cool to really to walk them through that and in through scripture and for them just to light up so they didn't have to carry these deep, dark burdens around, you know, of the torment that they went through and experienced in such a short amount of time. So it was a really phenomenal and really great experience.
Yeah, yeah. Egypt's not easy duty. I mean, it's a very, I've at least found it a difficult culture. And so for you to be there and make an impact, that's just fantastic. Did you find it like that, or was it a little easier for you?
It was tough because Egyptians, unlike the rest of the Arab world, they're strictly Egyptian. They're a culture all their own. They're very prideful. But I'll tell you what, I did find at the root of it all, especially the younger generation, are just so loving and just so curious about the world in general. So, you know, I would say on a weekly, almost daily basis, you know, I was invited to go to people's houses and to weddings, and it was really great and caring people. So it was good.
Yeah, people are people. I guess once we cut through the culture, it's we're all just about the same, and because we have a common maker and creator. So, well, I'd love to talk more about that, but I want to be sensitive to your time. Pastor Glenn kind of gave us some introductory fodder and information on this project called Manifold Mercy. Go back, fill in anything perhaps that you want to re-explain, and then let's take it on from there and hear from you of what you hope it would accomplish, what you think it will accomplish. Just share with us your thoughts.
Yeah, so the original concept for Manifold Mercy stemmed from this great fundraising idea that another Alliance church had. The only issue that we faced with when Glenn and Pastor Rock saw this great idea that they wanted to bring to ACAC was, one, our time in our church services wouldn't allow for it. So that was one big hurdle that we had to overcome. Two, we have so many great phenomenal ministries in our church that are constantly asking for money that we couldn't then go and ask for even more money on top of all that. So that was another hurdle that we kind of had to overcome. So we had to think outside of the church walls in order to do this. So in doing so, we also, the other problem that us as a department faced is, on top of a lot of our workers having to get support and raise support from members of our congregation, they also had other projects and things that they were working on the field that also needed funding.
Mm-hmm.
But we also noticed that a lot of our workers are working and doing things in the world that are really hot button social injustice issues that people, you know, you see every day on the media are up in arms about and really passionate about. So we found that that would be a good key to our advantage to really pull at people's passions for social injustices and be able to go outside of the church walls for funding. So that's kind of where this happened. But we didn't want to just ask people for money. We wanted to do it as a community was first and foremost. So we wanted to create it into a crowdfunding website.
Mm-hmm.
But we also wanted to give people the opportunity to share their passion and multiply it. So we wanted somebody who wanted to give $25 to be able to give a creative opportunity to go out in their own community of friends and family and give them ideas on how they can multiply that $25 into $100 or $500 or $1,000 by, you know, having a car wash or hosting a dinner or having a bake sale, you know, something like that, to be able to invest it into their passion but then multiply their passions to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how the original concept kind of came up. So we decided we were going to kind of take off with this with Cinderella's House, which Betsy is the director of in Spain. She's one of our workers. And we really wanted to focus on sex trafficking, which, you know, a lot of people outside of the church even have a huge passion for, because we wanted to also line this up so that people who can use it who are in the church as even an evangelistic tool. You know, coming from the missions department, at the heart of everything we do is just sharing the love of Christ. So we wanted to be able to make sure that in creating this, that people can use this for that as well. So we made it in such a way that if somebody, you know, is at work and they hear somebody up in arms, you know, about the crisis in Syria, that instead of saying to them, you know, hey, my church actually, you know, last year gave $34,000 to Syrian refugee relief, and then that person may hear that word church and be turned off by what the other person is saying. We wanted to make it so that, hey, there's this great organization that, you know, I take part in that, you know, does great relief for, you know, sex trafficking and Syrian refugee relief and all these different projects that we'll have up there. To be able to bridge that church threshold that a lot of our culture tries to push away from.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about the site, where we can locate, you know, where we can find it, and what you would want us to do when we do find it.
All right. So the site is manifoldmercy.org, and you can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Manifold Mercy. And what we would like everybody to do, especially this week, we want to challenge everybody to get us up to 1,000 likes on Facebook. So find us at Manifold Mercy on Facebook, like our Facebook page, share it, because for every like that we get, we're going to give a dollar to Cinderella's House. The people don't even have to pull out their pocketbook. They can just go online. You're already on Facebook anyways for the most part. They can just go online, click like, and a dollar is going to be sent on your behalf to Cinderella's House, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. We're at 424 likes or 421 likes. Yeah, so we've got a little ways to go. We got plenty of room for people to go right now to the Facebook page, just Manifold Mercy, and put that in, and you will find it. And also the site is manifoldmercy.org, and I'm looking at ongoing projects, Cinderella's House. That's and so you're going to have various projects as a focal point from time to time. Will the old projects stay? Will they disappear and it just be one project? What's it going to look like?
No, so the old projects will always be on there. So if somebody gets, you know, really passionate about one of them, they'll always be able to give to it and partake. But as for right now, we're going to launch a new one every quarter.
Every quarter.
The next one to look out for next quarter, we're going to be doing one on Syrian refugee relief. So that'll be the next one. So every quarter we'll launch a new project that people can get behind.
Yeah. You left corporate world to engage missions work. We glossed over that. Talk to us more about what was involved in that. What did people think when they heard it? What did you think when it started to unfold in your life? I mean, this is quite a big shift for you. I know you said you went to Kenya, you saw some different things. Go back and talk. Take us a little deeper into, you know, making this transition out of corporate life to being on the phone, on the radio, talking to me about Cinderella's House in Spain and raising funds and awareness for other projects.
Yeah, so it was a crazy season of my life, to say the least, but a very trusting season. So I was a district manager for Verizon Wireless for years, and in that I was working 80-hour weeks, so just really crazy busy. And whenever I came back from the trip, I remember it like it was yesterday. I was sitting at our weekly meeting in a room at a round table, and just, you know, going over typical stats. And I just remember having this overwhelming feeling of, God, this can't be it. This can't be it. Like, this can't be all that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just saw him really say, trust me. And I was like, I don't know. This is a big trust. And so, you know, there was times in the past when I tried to quit my job, but it just, you know, kept pulling me back in. And so finally I finally said to my mom, I looked at her and I was like, you know, can I move back home? And she goes, I think this is really what God wants you to do. And so I trusted. No plan B. I walked out in faith, and it was scary to say the least, and I really didn't want to do it willingly, but I just took that leap of faith, and it was the best thing I ever did. It was scary, but it was the best. Yeah, so there was, you know, it wasn't all butterflies and rainbows after that. There was about 3 months of me really questioning, was that the right move? But, you know, God ultimately led me to finding the job at the church, which really just kind of turned everything around for me. So it was phenomenal. So.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we always had talked when I was on staff about positioning the Kenya trip as what we would call Missions 101, where people would go and see how accessible the rest of the world is, and also be confronted with some of the need. The intent wasn't necessarily to tie people to Kenya, but to open them up to the world of missions. And so it sounds like you'd be the poster child for that, because it worked exactly as we had intended it to work. And we're so glad you're at the church. I'm certainly not rushing you out the door, but... any thoughts about the future? Anything emerging for you of more clarity of what it is in this world missions context that God would be saying to you?
Well, I definitely know He's laid a call in my heart to work in missions full time, and I do see an overseas vision there. I absolutely love the Muslim and Arab world. So, you know, if it was up to me, I would have left yesterday. But I'm really willing. So at this point, I'm just waiting on God to show me where and when. So I'm being patient. I'm not to jump, but I know it'll involve some long-term work.
Yeah, yeah. So before we wrap up, let's get back to Manifold Mercy. Anything else we need to know, I need to know, anything of its intent or how it's going to continue to unfold, anything else you need to say to us?
I know, just make sure you get out there, you share it with your friends and family. There's some great videos on how to get involved and ideas on what to do. There's also a phenomenal interview with Betsy on there about Cinderella's house. Just share the content, share it with your friends. Really, you know, don't be afraid to share your passion of, you know, solving social injustice issues and also sharing Christ all in one clean sweep. So don't be afraid and just throw it on your social media.
Yeah, so the videos are on manifoldmercy.org?
Yep.
All right, so manifoldmercy.org, and, of course, the Facebook page. And if you like the Facebook page, what's our deadline for getting our likes?
We're trying to get there by the end of next weekend, so next Sunday.
Okay.
So hurry up, go hit like.
Yeah, I did. I was in church. I broke all the rules. I did what Reed said. I got out my cell phone, and I liked it. So we challenge everybody to go ahead.
Said that they were breaking the rules.
Yeah. Well, you know I love to break the rules. So, and if you don't know, just ask anybody at ACAC. Well, Emily, thank you for your time. Thank you for your involvement, the work that you're doing. It's quite exciting. I'm sure we'll be talking to you more. Pastor Glenn sent me a sheet this morning of other things we need to be highlighting, so I know I'm going to need you to help coordinate some of that. But we really do want to, in this season of expanded influence, highlight and share the stories of what's already been going on. So it's not like we're gearing up to expand the influence. It's been happening, and you've been at the heart of it, and we're really grateful for what you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, you take care. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Emily Quinn from our missions department at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, Manifold Mercy. Pretty easy to remember, MM Manifold Mercy. Go to Facebook and search for it there, and please give us a like. Go to manifoldmercy.org, and I'm looking at it now, very clean, very nice. Cinderella's house is there. More info is available. The videos that Emily mentioned, and so... And obviously, if you have any questions, you can get in touch with the missions department. Well, that's it for today. I didn't want to prolong the interview. We want to be sensitive to the time of those who are coming on the show and of you who are listening. So this is John Stanko. Tomorrow, I'm going to be doing an interview with Pastor Blaine. We want to get a little more deeply into expanded influence and some of the 9 objectives that we had initially talked about when this was first launched, and see how we're doing on those and get some other updates there. So this is John Stanko, your host for Ministry Beat, signing off. We'll be back together again. Please spread the word, and please do all you can to engage ACAC through social media, through things like this podcast, our videos, our broadcast, anything else we're doing. There's so much good stuff going on. We're going to do everything we can to spread the word. So you take care until we're together again. You be about the work of expanded influence. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again soon on the ACAC Internet Radio for more insight into and information about the Expanded Influence Initiative at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.acacreach.com. If you have any questions concerning expanded influence or with ideas for future shows, you can write John at john.stanko@acac.net. JOHN.STANKO thank you and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.